अन्धर्बहिश्चाखिल लोकपालकाय अतृष्ट रूप विचरस्य रूप स्वना स ईश्वरस्त्वं य इदं वसे नयन् नाम्ना यथा दारुमयीं नरस्त्रियम् My dear Lord, just as a puppeteer controls his dancing dolls, and a husband controls his wife, your lordship controls all the living entities in the universe, such as the Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras. Although you are in everyone's heart as a supreme witness and commander, and are outside everyone as well, these so-called leaders of societies, communities, and countries cannot realize you. Only those who hear the vibration of the Vedic mantras can appreciate you. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is Antarabahi, present within and without everything. One must overcome the delusion caused by the Lord's external energy and realize His presence both externally and internally. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimati Kunti Devi has explained that Krishna appears in this world, nato natyadharo yatha, exactly like an actor dressed as a player. In Bhagavad Gita 18:61, Krishna says, Ishvara sarvabhutanam hridesher janatishtati. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna. The Lord is situated within everyone's heart and outside as well. Within the heart, He is the Supersoul, the incarnation, who acts as the advisor and witness. Yet although God is residing within their hearts, foolish people say, I cannot see God. Please show Him to me. Everyone is under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Exactly like dancing dolls controlled by a puppeteer or a woman controlled by her husband. A woman is compared to a doll, Darumayi, because she has no independence. She should always be controlled by a man. Still, due to false prestige, a class of women want to remain independent. What to speak of women? All living entities are prakriti, female, and therefore dependent on the Supreme Lord, as Krishna Himself explains in Bhagavad Gita, apareyam itashpanyam prakritim vidime param. The living entity is never independent. Under all circumstances, he is dependent on the mercy of the Lord. The Lord creates the social divisions of human society, Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras, and ordains that they follow rules and regulations suited to their particular position. In this way, all members of society remain always under the Supreme Lord's control. Still, some people foolishly deny the existence of God. Self-realization means to understand one's subordinate position in relation to the Lord. When one is thus enlightened, he surrenders to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and is liberated from the clutches of the material energy. In other words, unless one surrenders to the lotus feet of the Lord, the material energy in its many varieties will continue to control him. No one in the material world can deny that he is under the control. The Supreme Lord, Narayan, who is beyond this material existence, controls everyone. The following Vedic mantra confirms this point. Eko havai Narayana asit. Foolish persons think Narayan to be on the platform of ordinary material existence, because they do not realize the natural constitutional position of the living entity. They concoct names like Daridra Narayan, Swami Narayan, and Mitya Narayan. However, Narayan is actually the supreme controller of everyone. This understanding is self-realization. Today we are reading from Canto 5 of Srimad Bhagavatam, Chapter 18, entitled The Residents of Jambudweep Offer Prayers, Text Number 26. The Lord is herein compared to a puppeteer, and everything that exists, and everyone as well, compared to his dancing dolls. Srila Prabhupada explains that this is the basis of self-realization. To understand that there is a God and that we are eternally subordinate to that Supreme Being. The Upanishads declare Nityo Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitananam Eko Bahunam Yogididati Kama, that there is one Supreme Being, and there are also innumerable living eternal beings who are always subordinate and under the control of that one Supreme Being. Krishna is compared to the sun. All living entities are likened to rays of the sun. The rays of the sun are emanating and controlled by the sun. They are never independent of their origin. Janmadyasharyataha. The Absolute Truth is Him from whom everything emanates. Aham Bija Pratapita. Krishna tells in Gita, I am the seed-giving father and mother of all living beings. So, in this sense, to understand the reality of our constitutional nature is to understand that we are Jivara Swarupoi Krishnara Nityadas. We are always servants of the Lord. When Lord Chaitanya was teaching Sanatana Goswami, this was his first lesson, that every living being is the eternal servant of Krishna. But we have a choice. We have the independence to decide which aspect of the Lord we want to come under the control of, who we want to be the puppet of. We're always Krishna's puppets, but which aspect of Krishna, which of Krishna's energies do we want to be controlled by? Either the material energy or the spiritual energy. Prabhupada explains here that every living entity is prakriti. In the spiritual sense, male means the predominator, and female means the predominated. Every living being is female. Krishna is the one supreme male. He is the controller. He is the predominator. And we are all predominated by him. When we forget our relationship with Krishna, we come under the control of material nature. Mayadhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharachara. But Krishna said, I am the controller of Maya. The material nature is working under my direction. Srila Prabhupada explained it, and there's a very beautiful painting in Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita as it is, which depicts that Maya is a puppeteer, and all the living entities are dancing puppets, and she is controlling them with the strings of the three modes of material nature: goodness, passion, and ignorance. Ignorance is when the puppet thinks that it is independent. When the mode of passion, when the string of passion pulls from within our heart and within our mind, we're thinking, now I want to enjoy like this. But actually, you're simply being influenced by that association of passion. People want to take intoxication. People think that this is freedom. I could do what I like. I want to drink. I want to smoke marijuana. I want to take some other drug. It is my free will. But actually, you're being controlled. The mode of ignorance, the string of ignorance, is tugging at you, and the puppeteer of Maya is pulling it. And we're surrendering. You have the free choice whether you want to cooperate. You have the free choice what influences you're going to be subordinate to. But you're always being controlled. There are different Puranas which try to convince people to put themselves under the control of higher modes of nature. If you're under the mode of ignorance now, then make your choice, perform this type of sacrifice, this austerity, so that you could be under the control of passion instead of ignorance. That's better. You have that choice, but you're under the control of one or the other. Now, you're making some progress. Make the choice to put yourself under the control of the mode of goodness. But we're always puppets. Which energy, which mode of nature do we want to be puppets of? In this world, there are so many programs, so many organizations, so many movements trying to gain independence. At one time, this great country of America was under the British Empire's control. And there was the Declaration of Independence. Very important legal document, political document, where America was declaring, we want to be independent of anyone's control. We want to control ourselves. Yes? And in order to get that independence, they had to fight a war. A lot of bloodshed. So many casualties. So much hardship. So much hard work. And finally, they did it. They got independence. And even 200 years later, they're still blowing firecrackers all over America on Independence Day, the 4th of July. To celebrate, we are independent, we are free from the British. Arrivo. And India was also under the control of British. And on August 15th, I think it is, they have their Independence Day. They don't have such good firecrackers as America. They have to do other things. And in the 1960s, within America, there was a whole young generation who wanted independence from the older generation. It was a war, literally. We have several devotees here who were frontline fighters in this war in the 60s. They were burning draft boards because they didn't want to go to Vietnam and fight for the older generation. The norms of the older generation, some sense of morality. They wanted to be independent of that. Free sex, free drugs, freedom from the materialism of the society, and give up your house and live in the streets and be hippie. Arrivo, it was the revolution. Trying to get independence from the control and influence of high powers. And that was actually a tremendous battle between two generations in this nation. To the extent that the older generation was ordering the young generation to be shot and dead, tear gassed, because they weren't cooperating. It was quite tragic, very emotional. This is history. And the black people, they came to America as slaves, and they wanted independence. And part of the process of getting that independence, there was a civil war. Arrivo, terrible fight. Hundreds and thousands, if not millions of people dead. Relatives killing relatives. Right here in America. In fact, West Virginia was right on the border. Arrivo, between the North and the South. Because Abraham Lincoln and some others wanted to preserve the rights. Of course, there was economic considerations also. But they wanted to preserve the rights of these people who were being treated as slaves. They should have freedom. So wherever there is the will for independence or freedom, there's always a fight, a battle with hardships and casualties. And then the black men were free. But when they didn't have legally free, but not socially free, Martin Luther King and H.R.A.P. Brown, different types of people were fighting either through violence or nonviolence to gain actual, not just legal, but social freedom for the Afro-American people. And all over the world we find this fight for freedom, which really means fight for independence. Palestine and Israel, this is what it's all about. Palestine wants their own independent free state to control as they want. They don't want to be under the legal control of anyone else. And there's terrorism and all kinds of battles going on for generations. There's been three wars fought between India and Pakistan because Kashmir, certain people, certain elements within Kashmir want freedom from India. Independence. Arrivo. So this is the reality of this world. If you want independence, you have to fight. But another reality beyond this is to understand that we can never be independent. Our constitutional nature is that we are dependent on the higher power of Krishna. We have to be someone's puppet. Ultimately, the supreme controller of all controllers is the supreme personality of Godhead. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha. There are many controllers. Governments are controllers. Husbands may try to be controllers. Wives may be trying to be controllers. Your employer is a type of controller. Demigods are controllers. Military buildups, they are trying to sustain control. But Krishna is the controller of all controllers. Everything is ultimately acting under his will. And factually, every one of our desires, every one of our aspirations is under the influence of some higher power beyond ourselves. We were discussing how there was this movement for free sex, free drugs. But actually, that's not freedom at all. It's just a matter of choosing. Do you want to be a slave to lust and be independent of morality? Or do you want to be a slave of morality and be independent of lust? That's what it comes down to. Freedom to take drugs. The question is, do you want to be a slave to the mode of ignorance impelling you to take these drugs? Or do you want to be a slave of the will of God, of the principles of ethics and morality, and somehow or other do without that? But today in Kali Yuga, it's very socially prestigious, or as they say, very cool, to be a slave of the lower energies and to be independent of religious, spiritual, or moral principles. That's considered very cool. It's very fashionable. It's considered heroic. On every pack of cigarettes, it says, if you smoke this, you will die. In so many words. In England, they have big signs on the cigarette packs, right? It basically says, this may kill you. Hare Krishna. In America, a little more subtle. The Surgeon General says that you may get this, this, and this disease. It's harmful for your health. But it's proven. Millions of people die, hundreds and thousands of every year. And it's considered by some people to be heroic, that I'm risking my life, I don't care, for the cause of sense gratification. I'm fearless. Oh, very good, very good. You're cool, you're fearless, you're a macho person. Because you don't, you're not afraid of death for the cause of enjoying nicotine. You're willing to risk your life. Well, what is the use? Actually, people are under that control. You become addicted, you become controlled by the mode of ignorance. And if you want to get out of that control, you have to fight a battle. It's very difficult to stop smoking cigarettes. If you want to be free from the control of alcoholism, the more you associate with something, the more you fall under the control of that power. And that's a fact. The influences that affect our life are due to who and what we associate with. We become under the powers of that association. Is that not true? It is said, show me who you associate with, and I will know exactly who you are. If you associate with alcohol a lot, you become more and more under the control. You become addicted. And the more you're addicted, the more you have to fight a very, very painful battle to become free of alcoholism. Drug addiction. You associate with people first that take drugs, and they say, it's cool, do it, do it. You get high, don't worry about addiction. I've been doing it so long, I'm not addicted. And then you start doing. First you associate with people who do it, then you associate with the substance, and then the energy that is predominating over that substance, which is the mode of ignorance, Gradually, by associating with that energy, you come completely under the control of that energy. And you become a drug addict. And there's never been a happy drug addict. It's amazing, isn't it, how Maya works? Maya is promising you happiness by taking drugs. And not only that, you even get a little happiness taking drugs. You feel relief, liberated from anxieties. But that's just the way a fisherman catches the fish. Just somehow or other, get that hook in the fish. Yes, that's how Maya works. The fish is just looking around for something to enjoy, and there's the worm. And the other fish are saying, Prabhu. There's a hook in that worm. Don't eat it. And the fish is thinking, what is all this fanaticism, hook in the worm? I even if there is a hook, it doesn't, the worm is good, doesn't matter. The worms, just come, be free. Be free. Why do you want to be controlled under the, controlled by all these outdated religious principles? Eat me, eat me. So then you... Now the fisherman doesn't all just pull right away, because if it pulls right away, it just comes right out of its mouth. The fisherman lets the worm eat it. I mean, lets the fish eat, eat, eat. And swallow, swallow. Till it's deep in the stomach. Then the fisherman goes, ah. And you're helpless. Then even if you want to let go, you can't. You're hooked. That's what it means to be hooked. To be hooked means you're just a foolish fish. Captured by higher powers. And that's the way Maya works. Take this drugs, take this alcohol, take this sense gratification. Even things like television. It's addicting. Recently I was in a place visiting some people and there was a big electrical storm. And the power went out of the satellite table or cable network. And people were practically going crazy. They didn't know how to live. They didn't know what to do. The television didn't work. Haribo. Very difficult. So as you associate with these things, you become dependent on them. You become addicted to them. And the more you're addicted, the more you have to really seriously fight a battle to give it up. Drug addicts, alcoholics, sex life. If you just allow yourself to come under the control of that energy by just freely doing it whenever the urge comes, you become a slave of that passion. It's a reality. And then it's not that it's fun or that it's enjoyable. It's just total agony to not have it. You just take shelter of just trying to get out of this anguish because you're a prisoner. Imprisoned by the shackles of passion. And to give that up is very, very difficult, especially when you've been cultivating for many, many births. So in this way, yes, Maya Devi, she has her strings of goodness, passion, and ignorance. And she's pulling us, and we're all dependent. We're all being dictated. Therefore, Krishna tells in Gita, Daivihe shukunamayi mama maya duratyaya mame vamge papadyante maya meta durantite. This material nature, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is very, very difficult to overcome. There's only one way, to surrender to me, to become subordinate to me. When you put yourself under Krishna's subordination, then by His mercy, you're independent. You're free from the slavery of Maya's domain. Otherwise, everyone in this world is just a slave of Maya. There's no question of people being independent. But once you're under the control of Maya, to take shelter of Krishna, you have to be willing to fight a battle. Independence and freedom do not come without a fight. And that's what Bhagavad Gita is all about. That is why Bhagavad Gita was spoken on a battlefield. There's the Kurus who represent material aspiration. The king of the Kurus was Duryodhana, who was a slave of greed, a slave of envy, who wanted to be independent controller, independent of Krishna. And there was the Pandavas, headed by Yudhisthira, Arjuna, who were humble, respectful devotees, who simply wanted to do Krishna's will in this world. So Arjuna was in between the two battles, and Krishna spoke through Arjuna to all of us, Sri Bhagavad Gita, to teach us how to fight the ultimate war for independence. And Krishna explains, Yanti Dev, Anti Kale Chamam Eva Smaran Muktva Kalevaram. One who remembers me at the time of death attains me without fail. That is the real Independence Day. When you chant the name of Krishna at the time of death and you go back to Godhead, then the real fireworks. Then we're independent once and for all, forever, of all sufferings. We're independent of lust, envy, anger, greed, pride, and illusion. We're totally out of the control of all the influences of Maya. We become Krishna's puppet. And the greatest personalities who have ever walked the face of the earth, they declared themselves to be Krishna's puppet. They didn't declare themselves to be God, great. They considered themselves to be Krishna's servant. When Srila Prabhupada first came to the West, he wrote that beautiful poem, Markine Bhagavat Dharma. There he's revealing to us what is the heart of a true saint. What is the thinking of a truly liberated soul? He's praying to Krishna that you have brought me to this terrible place. Today, so many Indians are coming to America thinking it's a wonderful place. Yes? Prabhupada came thinking, you sent me to this terrible place? So much under the control of the modes of passion and ignorance. Srila Prabhupada was saying, I have come here to do your business, to reveal the message of Vasudev to the people of this world. If they just hear your message and your words enter into their hearts, then all their unhappiness will be vanquished and they will find spiritual joy. But I have no power. I have no power to influence them. If you give me the words to penetrate their hearts, then they will be delivered. And then Prabhupada prays, I am just a puppet in your hands, Krishna. Please make me your puppet and make me dance. Make me dance, O Lord, as you want me to dance. Srila Prabhupada is praying from the core of his heart to be Krishna's puppet. That is the perfection of life. Maya controls her puppets with the strings of the three modes of nature, which simply cause suffering and death in the end. But Krishna, the strings that Krishna uses are the strings of love, the strings of pure love, prema. That is the connection between the pure soul and Krishna, the connection of prema bhakti, pure unalloyed love. And although Krishna is a supreme controller, the nature of love is he becomes conquered by the love of his devotee, and the devotee is conquered by his love. The most esoteric, greatest truth of all the scriptures is how Krishna is controlled by the love of his devotee. Queen Kunti was astonished by this truth. Here is Krishna, who is so powerful that fear personified fears Krishna. Now, we have fear of snakes or of taxes or of death or of lightning. So many things we fear in this world. We have fear of poverty, or fear of not being accepted by our peers. There's so many fears we have. Can you imagine facing fear personified? That means the sum total embodiment of all fear. All your little fears are just part and parcel of fear personified. Hare Krishna. But fear personified is afraid of Krishna. And Krishna is afraid of Mother Yashoda. Krishna showed Arjuna Virat Rupa, the universal form. Unbelievable. Arjuna was the most powerful, heroic warrior on the face of the earth. Maharathi, soldier, Gandiva bow. And when he saw the Virat Rupa, he was just, his hairs were standing on end. He was shaking. He said, Krishna, take away this form. I cannot look at it. Let me see you as I know you. There were just unlimited heads and mouths, flaming mouths, just devouring all the soldiers on the war battlefield. Millions of mouths and hands and feet, eyes. He saw the sun and the moon and the whole, all the universes within this form. It was too fearful to look at the Virat Rupa. And who's Mother Yashoda? She's not a warrior like Arjuna. She's a gopi. Just a very gentle, soft-hearted mother. And yet, when Krishna stole the butter, Yashoda came after him, and Krishna ran away in fear. He was running and running and running. How he was running! And Yashoda Mai was running after him, and he was running in front, and she was running behind, and she was running behind. It was a chase. And ultimately, she caught him by Krishna's will. Because of her love, he was willing to be captured by her. And he was weeping. His lips were quivering. His limbs were trembling in fear. He confessed, pleading for mercy. Mother, I did it, I did it. I did steal the butter, but please, please, don't hurt me. Don't punish me. I won't do it again, I promise. Put down your stick, please. Kunti Devi is thinking. That fear personified is afraid of Krishna, but Krishna is afraid of Yashoda. And ultimately, he was bound by the rope of Yashoda's love. One time, Gopal was stealing butter. And he happened to, there was a jeweled pillar just beside him. And he happened to see his own reflection in the jeweled pillar. But he thought it was some other boy watching him stealing the butter. So he became very alarmed, and he started talking to who he thought was somebody watching. He said, my friend, he said, please don't tell Yashoda Mai, don't tell my mother what I'm doing. If you promise not to tell her, I'll give you some butter also. And Yashoda Mai was hiding in a secret place, watching the whole thing, smiling. And then she came out, and Gopal said, actually, I'm only doing it because he told me to do it. It's his fault. He was pointing at the reflection. He said, I'm innocent, but he forced me to do it, this person here. Krishna willingly comes under the control of the love of his devotee. And in a similar way, a devotee is controlled by the love of Krishna. The strings of love. So the question is, do we want to be controlled by the strings of material nature, which lead us to old age, disease, death, and all kinds of different sufferings, frustrations, anxieties? Or do we want to be controlled by the strings of Krishna's love and mercy? That's really our choice. If you want to come under Krishna's divine control, if we want to enter into Krishna's pastimes, then we must be willing to fight a war to free ourselves from the clutches of Maya. And Bhagavad Gita teaches us how to fight that war. In essence, Man manabhava mad bhakto madhyashimdam namaskaro. Mami vaishyashi shatyam te pratijani priyoshime. Krishna tells, always remember me. Become my devotee. Worship me and offer your homage unto me. You will come to me without fail. This is my promise. When we take shelter of Krishna, when we surrender to Krishna, Krishna delivers us by his causeless mercy. And the process of Krishna consciousness is the process of attracting the mercy of the Lord. Prabhupada gave us the holy names. Krishna is non-different than his names. The most accessible, merciful form of God is his name, because he gives his shelter so freely to everyone, anyone, anywhere, at any time. All we have to do is sincerely cry out his name. The name of the Lord purifies us, delivers us from the clutches of material existence. So therefore we chant the holy name according to the directions of Krishna. It's the medicine that frees us from the disease of ignorance. Chanting the holy names shouldn't be seen as just some austerity I have to do. It's actually the supreme benediction, Lord Chaitanya said. It's the prime benediction for humanity at large. It's the ultimate gift. It's the greatest honor, fortune, and pleasure to take Krishna's name sincerely. Because all of Krishna's love is within his name. All of Krishna's power of love is within his name. And we follow these regulative principles, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, and no meat eating. Why? It's not easy. It's not easy to be moral when society around us, immorality is so socially acceptable. To be good, you practically have to stand out amongst men and be separate. That's what Jesus said. He told his followers, stand out from amongst men and be separate. That means if you're like everyone else, you're not my follower. You have to fight a war. It's not easy. But it's glorious. Because everyone in this world wants independence. But unfortunately, people don't understand what real independence is. On America's 200th anniversary, on 4th of July, there was big festivities being planned for a whole year in advance. And Prabhupada said, we are declaring our dependence on God. You remember that? Back to Godhead. It was right in the front cover. Declaring our dependence on God. We want to be independent of all these false conceptions of independence. We want to depend on Krishna's mercy. That's the independence everyone is looking for. In this particular sloka, it explains, only those who hear the vibration of Vedic mantras can attain this state. The Maha Mantra, which includes all other mantras, Lord Chaitanya has so kindly given us. And Srila Prabhupada has so mercifully taught us how to chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. So if we really understand really what we want in life, then our character will be that we live by our ideals. We live and we die by the ideals we strive to achieve. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.